The sermon text this morning from our Old Testament reading. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. Thus far the words of our text. I think we have this morning before us one of the dilemmas of the Christian faith. Something like this. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, the first answer to that question is, first of all, we're not that good. Okay, so we all know that. We all know the quote-unquote book answer. And I'm sure that most people do not think that they're perfect. But they also want to say, I'm not that bad. So a sermon on a Sunday morning is a great place to reinforce the spiritual declaration of original sin and of the depravity of human beings. There is a reason why we say in our confession, I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved my neighbor as myself. I justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. I. Lord, I'm talking about me here. Why do we confess in such a personal way? We confess in such a personal way because it's true. Deep down where it counts, even our best thoughts and our best actions are stained and tainted by sin. Remember the account of the rich young man from Luke chapter 10? He hustles up to Jesus, he kneels before Jesus, and he asks Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus pauses and he looks at him and he says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. No one is good but God alone." We find the prophet Hosea telling the people of Judah and the people of Israel that God is going to punish their nations. Why? Because the people had engaged in idol worship. And having turned their backs on God, they turned to foreign kings for protection. Hosea reminds us that the simple neglect of what is wholesome and blessed leads to wholehearted sin and self-destruction. It's an important line, I think. He reminds us that simple neglect of what is wholesome and good leads to wholehearted sin and self-destruction. And when a nation turns its back on God, not its wealth, not its armies, not anything can be able to deliver that nation out of the hand of its punishment, because only the Lord redeems and restores. We find Hosea saying earlier in his book, there is no faithfulness, there's no steadfast love, there's no knowledge of God in the land. He goes on to say, there is swearing, there is lying, there is murder, there is stealing, committing adultery. They break all the boundaries, and bloodshed follows. Therefore the land mourns, and all who live in it languish. It sounds like an indictment upon our own nation in our own days and our own times. And I was driving in here yesterday, and I was thinking about, you know, the sermon. And I thought, for so many people, Christian people and, you know, regular folks too, but mostly Christian people I was thinking about, for so many, God, church, prayer, and that's what we do when we got nothing better to do. If we don't have somewhere else to go on a Sunday morning, if we don't have to go to some family reunion or to some event or something we have purchased a ticket for, and if we got nothing else to do, well, I guess we'll go to church this week. And then I was thinking too, because what I'm thinking about is, we read this in the Bible and it just, we think, I think often, that it must be something that is, it's super big and super obvious, and I think, you know, a nation slips away from the Lord just a little minute space at a time, until one day you wake up and you're way over here instead of way over there, back with the Lord. And I was thinking, you know, the corn is growing, and it's hot. It's really hot. And I was like, thank God we got drought-resistant corn. Thank God for that. And then shortly after I thought that, I'm like, huh. Am I thanking God for that, or I'm just happy we got drought-resistant corn? Which one is it? You know, I think about these things. Have we slipped from God millimeter by millimeter, inch by inch, just a little bit at a time, to the point where I ought to be thanking God for the gifts He gives us of being able to produce seed that is drought resistant, seed that will grow a better yield. Thank God for those things instead of just being thankful we have them. I don't know. I don't know if anybody else thinks like that. I don't know if anybody else ponders these things or wonders about them. But, you know, things I wonder about. And the prophet, the Lord goes on to say, He says, my people inquire of a piece of wood, and their walking staff gives them oracles. They sacrifice on the tops of mountains. They burn offerings in the hills. The people chased false gods and false temples. And people today have different false gods and they have different false temples. Still, we slowly and softly turn away. You know, speaking of false temples and false gods, again, this is, I don't know. It's easy to stand up here and take pot shots at things, okay? It's easy to pick low-hanging fruit. But it's summer, right? And I'm standing at the top of the stairs up here in the Walther Hall and the connecting part over there. And, you know, it's that time of year again when you are coming into church and you are competing for parking spaces with people walking over to a ball game. Now, I don't know if those folks have gone to Saturday night church. I don't know if they're going to have an 8 o'clock game and go to 10:30 church. I don't know. I hope they are. But perhaps not. And maybe that's evidence of a culture that is slowly slipping away from the Lord. For their idol worship, God declares, I will pour my wrath upon them in proportion to the greatness of their offense. The Lord will tear them as a lion and then remove himself from them until they acknowledge their offense and seek his face. Here's a truth that is found in Scripture. Namely, that men seek the Lord when they're in trouble and they pour out their prayers when punishment's on them. The prophet cries out, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us by the punishments for sin which he has sent. Our propers for the day, propers that is our psalm and our hymns and our readings, breathe this out. Consider the psalm of the day. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. God declares through Hosea, I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and they seek my face, and in their distress they earnestly seek me. I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by my word. Now, let's understand this also. There is a difference between what Hosea has recorded for us and our afflictions. And I want to think about this too this morning. What Hosea writes is Holy Scripture. We know that the people were being afflicted by God because we have the words of the prophet saying what God has said. I'm returning to my place. I'm going back to heaven. And I'm going to turn my back on them until they get their bad self straightened out. In our lives, in your life, you generally, rarely, if ever, have a word from the Lord that tells you why you're suffering the way you're suffering. You generally don't know why you're going through the problems and the pain that you go through in life. We simply can't come to someone who has a child born with an ailment and look and go, see, what did you do? What did you do? Why are you being punished? We cannot look at a car wreck and declare that God's punishing that person. Neither can we look upon wars thrust upon our nation and automatically figure out that our nation is being punished. There may be a host of reasons that God would allow trial and tribulation to enter our lives. We live in a broken world and tragedies do happen. Bad things do happen for no apparent reason. God might be using such events to test our faith or to strengthen our faith. We might be put in a certain position of stress or trial to show unbelievers or those who are weak in the faith how people whose faith is in God react to different situations. Yes, indeed, there might be punishments. Then again, sin often has its own rewards. As a Christian people, we look at our lives and we seek to understand, how is it in my life, how is it that God is seeking to draw me closer to Him? How is God seeking to pull me closer to Himself? We also understand that we are a Christian people. And as such, as a Christian people, we know that God has already paid the price for our sin. We sang as such in our opening hymn. The strife is o'er, the battle done. The powers of death have done their worst, but Christ their legions hath dispersed. He broke the age-bound chains of hell. The bars from heaven's high portal fell. Lord, by the stripes which wounded thee, from death's dread sting, set thy servants free. We are proclaiming in that very hymn that Jesus died in our place. He was afflicted for us in our place. He bore the stripes and the wounds that, yes, indeed, our sins deserve. We see the mercy of God then in the absolution. We see the mercy of God in holy baptism, where we proclaim that our God declared you to be your child, his child. It is here at the font that you are gathered into the one holy Christian and apostolic church, in which you are daily and richly forgiven of all your sins. And we pray that God would grant us new life through his Spirit. Your sins are forgiven. What great news that is for you and for all people. It's good news for us. It's why we sing in the Gloria in Excelsis, to God on high be glory and peace to all the earth. O Lamb of God, our Savior, you take our sins away. Have mercy on us, Jesus. Receive our heartfelt cry. And even in our text for today, there's the foreshadowing of Jesus, where the prophet says, after 2 days he will revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up, that we may live before him. So we know that through Jesus Christ, when we face trials, when we face tribulations, and we face hardships in life, what are they meant to do? They're meant to exercise our faith. God would strengthen us so that we're able to face persecution, so that we are able to face the assaults of the devil. Owing to the weakness of our old Adam, we're always susceptible to backsliding and to falling away from the faith. We are apt to stray, so we thank God that he arranges things so that we are continually called through the events of our life back to him. And we're called to a focus on what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. What has Jesus done? He has paid the price for sin. He has won salvation for us through his life, his death, and his resurrection, bestowing upon us eternal life, so that in him we rejoice and we go forth and we tell the good news of Jesus, that we are declared righteous in God's sight for what Jesus has done for us. I started this by saying none of us are good. Let's end it, though. If you are in Christ, you are forgiven in Jesus. His righteousness covers you. When God looks at you as a forgiven sinner, when God looks at you as a one who trusts in Jesus, one who's washed in the blood of the Lamb, well, for those who die in Christ, you will be declared good. In Christ, you're good. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.